Dr. Michael Sala with us. We're going to take phone calls with him as we talk about the strange things that have been happening on this planet. And he is next with us, with you, on Coast to Coast AM. And we're back with Michael Sala. And, of course, we will take your phone calls as well. Michael, David Politis, when he was on with me prior to you, we talked about the possibility of these missing people being abducted by ETs or UFOs. Your thoughts on that?
I think people are being abducted and they're being taken up into these space programs. And some of them, I think, may actually be traded as part of a either a galactic slave trade or used as workers on places like Mars or some of the outer moons of Jupiter and Saturn. One of the things that I found very interesting in listening to one of Paul Politis' lectures or one of his interviews was that he talked about many of the disappeared people being German, especially German technical students, people with engineering or scientific backgrounds. Well, these are the people that, if we're talking about a German-run secret space program out there, that they would need to replenish their officer corps, and getting German-speaking people, abducting them and forcibly recruiting them into these programs would be one way to basically maintain an officer corps that's dominated by Germans in that particular secret space program.
Scientists called Dr. Salvador Payas. What's the U.S. Navy doing with that person?
Well, Salvador Payas, he's a physicist, and he has very recently released five patents that are at various stages. Four of them have been granted by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, and they deal with advanced technologies associated with electromagnetic propulsion systems. So one of the patents deals with hybrid aerospace underwater craft, which basically is a craft that, through the use of electromagnetic propulsion and shields that it creates around itself, it is able to move forward through any medium like water or air by basically moving all of the molecules in a very small, a very small kind of sheath around the craft that's being generated by this electromagnetic system that they have in there, and so that basically creates a bubble. It's like a quantum vacuum is surround the craft, so it can move through the oceans or through air without meeting any resistance. So that's really tremendous, because it means that if you have the right propulsion system, you could move through air, water, or space without any resistance, and so that enables you to accelerate to very, very high speeds. So that's just one of the patents he's released. He's also released patents concerning the power supply for that kind of hybrid aerospace vehicle. He's also released patents for an electromagnetic shield.
Why is the Navy involved with them specifically?
The Navy is very heavily involved in this. I mean, even though he is listed as the inventor for these patents, he assigned the patents to the U.S. Navy, in particular to the Secretary of the Navy. And on two occasions, the patents were turned down by the patent examiner, who said that this was scientifically not feasible at this point. But the Navy intervened. There was a Navy scientist, the chief technical officer for a Navy research organization, intervened, wrote to the patent office on behalf of Dr. Payas, saying that these technologies were feasible, experiments were being conducted, and if the Navy doesn't get these patents awarded to it, then China was working on similar technologies, it would claim the patent, and the U.S. Navy would be paying royalties to the Chinese. So the U.S. Patents Office basically overturned the rejection. So this is kind of unprecedented that you have that kind of intervention by the Navy in support of these futuristic technologies, which really very revolutionary and can change or completely overnight change the aerospace industry in the United States and around the planet.
Pretty dramatic. I remember, Michael, when you and I were on, we were talking about an angelic presence. Do you still investigate that?
That is something that I'm very interested in. In the past, I've talked about angelics in terms of being celestials, high-dimensional beings, and these are beings that often are seen sometimes working with extraterrestrials. There's a very famous incident where there was this angelic being that a group of extraterrestrials took some human contactees to visit in the Andes. This was Carlos Enrique Rincon, who was taken there. He's a Colombian engineer, and he was taken there by these Pleiadian extraterrestrials, and he was introduced to a celestial. And this is a person who just walked out of a cave in kind of like in garb very similar to kind of like ancient Palestine. He actually thought, when he first saw him, he thought this was Jesus. I mean, that's how he
really
was. Very angelic, very very wonderful, peaceful, kind energy. And this is the kind of group that some of the extraterrestrials are working with. So, yeah, I think when we look at this this dichotomy between angels and demons, I think that there is a reality to that. Some extraterrestrials work with these high celestial beings that are, to all intents and purposes, angels described in biblical texts. And then we get the other side, which are these demonic entities.
Let's go to the phones. Let's start with Jordan in Kansas on the Wildcard Line. Jordan, good morning and welcome to the program.
Hi, George.
Hey.
Nice to speak with you again.
Thank you, sir.
Hi, Michael.
Hi, Jordan.
Hi, I have a short little theory / question for you.
Okay.
I'm a proud Trump supporter, and I've been watching the, in my opinion, attempt to ruin his career and oust him from office. I believe that, you know, the deep state is involved somehow, you know, and I like the way that he has taken on the government swamp, if you will. And it's kind of opened my eyes to the power of the deep state or whoever they are, you know, powers that be. And it seems like they've been trying to divide the USA to the far left and to the far right with brainwashing techniques like television, for instance, you know. And my instinct tells me it would have to be China would only be the only nation capable of something like that. And I was wondering if you think it is possible that there are deep cover agents working against the United States, trying to turn us against each other, basically, or members of Congress, for instance, or anything like that.
Yes, I would agree with that. I think that there is a deep state effort to divide the United States and to embroil the United States in all of these useless wars and basically weaken the U.S. military, because I think the deep state understands that in order to bring about their plans for a new world order, which would be under the control of a totalitarian state, you need to basically destroy the biggest threat to that, which is the U.S. Constitution and the U.S. military. And that's why the U.S. has been sucked into all of these wars all around the planet, because these have been contrived by the deep state to weaken the U.S. military and to create all this civil strife in the U.S. And I think one of the good things about the Trump administration is that he has been very clear from the beginning that he wants to pull back from all of these wars, and which is kind of like sucking the lifeblood out of the U.S. economy and creating all these divisions in the United States, because you don't have the money for basic infrastructure and services that are there to help the U.S. get through. And the biggest beneficiary of all of this is China, because China is destined to be the next major superpower, and very soon the Chinese economy will be larger than the U.S. economy, and the deep state is moving all its resources, many of its resources and its influence to China, because it wants the Chinese totalitarian system to be exported around the planet.
And you know what? I also think they're dumping fentanyl on us too.
Right, yes. Kind of like a reverse of the opium war.
Yep, same thing. They're coming back at us this way. Dean in Spokane, Washington. Go ahead, Dean.
Yeah, George, hi. First time caller.
Thanks, Dean.
Michael, you were talking a minute ago about rectangle craft and whatnot. Well, I'm going to say about 3-4 years ago, I was homeless for quite a while. I was in the SSVF homeless vet for a while, and I'm coming back from our friends, and I stopped at a Walmart parking lot to crash out because I was getting tired. It was about 4 a.m. I get out, walk to the dogs, and over window forward, I see this thing. I got goosebumps when I seen it. They're big as about 4 Greyhound buses laid on their side together, is about the size of this thing, and it just goes floating by, gives me goosebumps. What was the weirdest thing is it didn't make any sound out at all. I mean, it, and you could the birds are, you know, starting to wake up at that time of the morning. Could have been an hour you know, later, about 5 o'clock when the sun came up, I'd have got a really good look at it, but I'm like running around for parking lot lights at the Walmart. Well, earlier that afternoon, I witnessed a Janus jet, total white, no-tail mark. I was in Civil Air Patrol, no-tail markings, no nothing on this plane, about 10 o'clock earlier that morning. And then about 2 o'clock, I see two F-18s bugging out, I think, to Mountain Homes, Idaho. So I'm putting like, what? That, they must have been flying cover for the, you know, the yuckety-yuck scientists that were on that Janus jet.
Huh.
And then coincidentally, I see these, and right after that, one flew by flying in formation. So there was actually some intelligence or some consciousness involved, because in formation, flying right behind it about five, you know, not right behind it, but right after that, here comes the second one flying in formation after that one. So have you ever, and I know it was our government. In fact, I called 911 in the middle of that, and the operator put me on hold, and she then someone else came online, wanted me to identify myself, and I just hung up.
You ever hear of that stuff, Michael?
Oh, yes. There's been flying triangle, flying rectangle sightings near MacDill Air Force Base that I've covered in a series of articles, and I actually have photos. I was sent photos of these flying rectangles hovering near MacDill Air Force Base in 2018, a series of photos basically showing these rectangles. And one of my source, the person who took the rectangles, he actually says that he was taken on board one of these craft, and he saw the Air Force personnel on the craft wearing the patches belonging to Air Force Special Operations. So he was able to identify the particular branch of the Air Force that was manning these flying rectangles that were associated with operations out of MacDill Air Force Base, which is the home of Special Operations Command. So, yeah, the Air Force has fleets of flying triangles, flying rectangles that it sends off to do special missions around the planet and into space.
Have you ever looked over your shoulder, Michael? I mean, you touched some controversial things.
Well, I always cite my sources. One of the things is that I myself am not a witness to these things. So I'm citing sources who are experiencing these things. So, you know, they're the ones that I think are taking the big risk, not me.
Let's go to Dana Point, California. Denny's with us. Welcome to the program, Denny.
Yes, good morning, yeah, gentlemen.
Hi.
I was going to bring up, you were talking about Eisenhower earlier. You actually agree, Dan, during the time of Eisenhower and Nixon, there was such a person coming from, they say, Venus, named Valiant Thor.
Valiant Thor, you're right. Good point.
And he was actually with the Pentagon offering things than, you know, such no illness anymore and other things. Then, you know, Eisenhower rejected just because it would create too much of a drop into the economy. And what do you think if you're aware of it? Because I have photographs of NASA, infrared photographs from three big ships, which are actually parked for a long, long time, maybe one for 2,000 years, around one of the rings of Saturn. And one of them has a diameter a little bit bigger than the Earth, which is about 50,000 kilometers, with a large, large variety of different beings on board. And since we're talking about Saturn, are you aware about Iapetus, the fake moon by Saturn?
Right. Yes. So Iapetus, that looks like the Death Star in. Star Wars,
yeah, it does.
That equatorial ridge around it, and it has a kind of depression in it that is very similar to the Death Star. And so it definitely looks like an artificial body. It doesn't look like a natural moonlet. And that ridge around the equatorial area around Iapetus, I mean, that doesn't look like it could be formed through any natural geological process at all. So, yeah, I think Iapetus was an artificial moon, as is our moon. As far as Valiant Thor is concerned...
But what a great story, huh?
Incredible story. And of course, there were those photos of Valiant Thor that August Roberts took back in the 1950s. That Frank Strangers basically saw
right.
And distributed, and that's how he got to meet Valiant Thor himself. So Frank Strangers confirmed that, yes, Valiant Thor, the person in the photos that had been taken by this UFO photographer, August Roberts, was the same person that was a guest at the Pentagon for 3 years trying to persuade the Eisenhower administration and Vice President Nixon to work with these very positive, human-looking extraterrestrials to reveal the truth about ET life and to help the planet evolve in terms of high ethics and spirituality. But unfortunately, the Pentagon decided to go
another way.
Yes, exactly.
Our friend Craig Campobasso has a movie out called Stranger at the Pentagon about Valiant Thor, and it's it just make you wonder, doesn't it, Michael?
Well, it does. Yeah, Craig has independently found sources on his own that corroborate what Frank Strangers has said, and I think Craig has that 30-minute short version of Stranger to Pentagon,
believe he's sure does.
On a full feature-length movie.
Michael, we're going to come back and take final phone calls with you. Those of you on hold, we'll get to you when we come back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, I'll be talking with astronaut Chris Hadfield. He has spent three missions upon the International Space Station. We'll get into some great topics with him, so make sure you're part of Coast to Coast. And George Norrie back with you, our final segment with Dr. Michael Sala as we talk about exopolitics and the strange things happening on this planet. Let's go back to the calls. First-time caller Darcy's with us in Oregon. Hi, Darcy. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you, George?
Great. Good to have you with us.
Thank you. Okay, I have a question I'd like to ask.
Okay.
Your guest. I'm horrible with names. Anyway, what it was is I'm wondering is Are government keeping, I mean, all governments really, keeping information from us about aliens because of a possible threat that the aliens have let them know you'd let us do, we can do this our way or we can do this our way. You work with us.
There's always been that fear that the ETs are forcing this, Michael. What do you think?
I think there's several reasons for why the secrecy has been maintained. You know, the military were concerned that if the truth got out, then people would lose confidence in the state in terms of being able to defend the citizenry from extraterrestrials with more advanced technologies. There was the economic factor as well, which is what happens when you reveal technologies that are non-fossil fuel-based. I mean, you'd have a collapse of the energy industry overnight. You will also have the cultural, religious, or, you know, what happens if people are suddenly being told that humanity is bioengineered from multiple extraterrestrial races and that we weren't all made, you know, overnight by a transcendent being. So, you know, all of these reasons, I think, all come together. People now are kind of more comfortable with the idea of extraterrestrial visitation. And because the military is on the verge of releasing Space Force and announcing all of its very powerful space assets, I think they're more comfortable also with this truth coming out.
Let's go to Thomas in La Jolla, California. Hi, Tom. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Thank you for taking my call. George, I am still having shivers from listening to the David Polite.
Oh, my gosh. It's a scary thing.
Oh, man. Yeah, I've hiked a lot in Alberta and British Columbia, and now I'm counting my blessings. But, Michael, great research that you're doing, Michael. My question is this. You were speaking about QAnon exposing the deep state suppression of the exopolitics narrative. And, you know, unfortunately, people do not read books. They do not go to the public libraries, but they do watch movies and they do watch network TV. And I've often wondered whether there are factions within the government, the military, et cetera, that are collaborating with Hollywood to expose this deep state suppression of the exopolitics narrative. And I'm going to cite like two network TV shows. 2009, there was V, and then there was The Event, which got really deep into the weeds on deep state suppression of exopolitics. And, of course, in the 90s, there were several movies, Independence Day, Contact, Charlie Sheen's The Arrival, The X-Files, Fight the Future, etc. All of these movies and TV shows explicitly addressed deep state suppression of the exopolitics narrative. And I was wondering if you would speak. I mean, obviously, it's been going on since 1951 with Day the Earth Stood Still. But I was wondering if you would speak by that. Are there factions within the government, the military, the corporations that are feeding information to Hollywood on the deep state manipulation of the exopolitics narrative?
Thanks for raising that question. I think it's a very important one. Soft disclosure, as you said, has been going on since the early 1950s with the release of The Day the Earth Stood Still, and continues through those many shows that you mentioned, like V, and there are others, Battlestar Galactica, and more recently there was this series on Amazon, Man in the High Castle, that actually talked about this temporal war that's going on, where you actually have a group of German Nazis that are trying to infiltrate our reality with temporal agents and change things. So these are all forms of soft disclosure that I think are there to alert the public and educate the public, using this kind of Hollywood medium where you have plausible deniability, so that in the event of a catastrophic disclosure event, like we saw in the Series V, where all of a sudden these huge motherships suddenly appear, you're not going to have a kind of collapse of societal structures, because people have been conditioned for that kind of revelation through series, through shows like The X-Files, like the Star Trek, and so forth.
Let's check in with Charles in Elgin, Texas. Hey, Charles, go ahead.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
It's always good to hear you doing well and doing good at the same time. Appreciate your show very much.
Thank you, Charles.
I wanted to ask Dr. Sala if he was aware of, because I've been noticing some things over the years, if he was aware of any groups, and I've heard reports about this too, of any groups people in the military that were trying to, sort of object to the this technology, possession of it, the use of it, on the basis of apparently maybe religious grounds, or the idea that this is somehow demonic or whatever. And I wonder if he was aware of any of these kind of groups in there, how that all.
Any strange groups in there, Michael?
Yes. Unfortunately, there are some very strange groups. There are groups that use these psychotronic technologies to basically amplify psychic abilities for doing things that basically amount to like a kind of form of psychic assassination, or injuring people, or kind of turning events in a particular way. People refer to it as remote influencing, but there are some groups that do it to an extent where, you know, there's a very dark agenda. You know, we're talking about almost like black magic. And so if you have people that are disposed in that direction and have the ability to access some of these advanced technologies, like, you know, we're talking about the Montauk chair. Well, imagine if you get someone in there that you know, has very negative intentions and kind of like focuses on a particular person to induce a heart attack or an accident, then these technologies, you know, used by these dark groups can be very, very dark and very dangerous. And certainly, I think there are some people in the military that are very concerned about that.
What's the end game, Michael? What do you think they all want, these groups, these special interest groups, the deep state? Is it total control of us?
I think you have multiple groups that are competing for influence. It's all about control over humanity, that by and large, humanity is regarded as kind of like you know, sheep, and it's whether you're going to have your humanity kind of plundered by these wolves out there, or whether you're going to have humanity kind of like defended by, you know, these kind of the sheepdogs out there. You know, and a lot of people in the military kind of regard themselves as kind of like these protectors to kind of like make sure that we're not abused by these kind of very dark groups out there.
Let's go next to Wayne in Tacoma, Washington. Hey, Wayne, go ahead.
Good evening, gentlemen, and thank you, Sir George, for taking my call.
Sure thing.
Doctor, I'm wondering if you've ever delved into the story that Montauk allegedly deals with, the USS Eldridge, and its author, Preston Nichols, whose two books have been very critically touted as novels. There's been some research done on the background of the ship, the Eldridge, and to my knowledge, nothing has ever been, you know, documented by anybody that it actually went through these experiments.
The Philadelphia experiment.
You have a take on this, too, because I think you dealt with Mr. Bailey at some time. So I'd like to hear both of your comments on that.
I think with the Philadelphia experiment, there was an attempt to use very powerful electromagnetic energies to cloak the ship.
Yep.
And that had some unfortunate byproducts in terms of the ship being kind of teleported briefly, and then having a lot of the personnel affected very badly by that. So I think the Navy shelved that until they worked out the technology. But one of the patents that were released by Dr. Salvador Payes concerns a high-energy electromagnetic field generator, which basically creates this shield around a ship at sea, so you can protect it from incoming missiles. And I actually wrote a paper that's on my ExoPolitics website where you can read about this. But I think that this was the reason why the U.S. Navy recalled all of its aircraft carriers back to port for some emergency refurbishment, so that they could be protected from these hypersonic cruise and ballistic missiles that the Russians and the Chinese have been developing, which are all carrier killers. But now, I think the aircraft carriers are protected by these high-energy electromagnetic field generators that the Navy has finally been able to work out how to use these very powerful electromagnetic field generators safely.
I had a chance before he passed on to interview Al Bielek, who claims that he and his brother, Duncan Cameron, were part of the Philadelphia experiment. And they said some horrendous things, Michael, that the experiment went awry. It partially cloaked the ship. But what it did is it put people in other dimensions, basically, where half their body was literally stuck in the ship. The other half was not. It was like a horrible screaming situation. Did you remember that?
Yes, I remember those stories. And, they just hadn't worked out the technologies at that time. And I think the Navy took a few decades to work it all out. But apparently they have worked it out, and that's what we're seeing now with these patents coming out.
Michael, give out your website, sir.
Exopolitics.org, exopolitics.org, and thanks again for having me on the show.
Always a pleasure, Michael. And the best place to get your books?
You can just go to amazon.com, just type in my name, Michael Sala, and you'll see all my books appearing there.
A couple of his books, Kennedy's Last Stand and the U.S. Air Force Secret Space Program. Once again, Michael, thank you. Keep in touch with us, okay?
I will. Thanks, George. Aloha.
That's Michael Sala. On our next Coast to Coast program, as I mentioned, I'll be interviewing an astronaut who was aboard the International Space Station. Now, a couple of years ago, I actually interviewed astronauts while they were on the International Space Station. Well, this time we're going to be talking with an astronaut who's come back. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Greg Bishop, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, Tim Banal, and Ian Punnett and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.